Dallas friends around the world, and welcome. This is Caravan to Midnight, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, the center of the world, and unfortunately, it appears the center of hypocrisy. Since the whole country is in the throes of hypocrisy, from, shall we say it, coast to coast. Kudos to Chief Bill for clever use of flanger. You know, I was thinking about when I did that song, I thought, this thing needs some bass. And I thought, no, because nobody but McCartney would be appropriate to play bass on this. McCartney, really? Yeah. If you've ever heard Paul McCartney, even at his age, and maybe even especially at his age, play bass live in concert, I never heard anybody play bass like that. He's just all over the place. It's excellent. Yes, well, but will your bass player actually cause a cerebral hemorrhage to listeners? McCartney could probably do it. But I digress. Back to the hypocrisy thing. Here's a good one from Zero Hedge. You ready for this? How about those debates? Oh, they're so mean, those people on the right. They're so mean. I think we should be extraordinarily mean, if that's what it takes. Isn't it funny how telling the truth, rather than telling something that sounds good, is mean? There was this play. Actually, I did it at school back in the TCU days, which I'm delighted to report. That school finally has a good athletics department. We walked with our heads bent in shame. Even those of us who don't give a damn about sports were really kind of downtrodden over the fact that we couldn't win any games. But I digress again, because it's just that kind of a day. It's an ADD Tuesday. Well, wait a minute. No, it's an MAC Tuesday. It's a Multiple Attention Capability Day. There's no deficit of attention. It's just there's a lot of stuff to pay attention to. Anyway, there was this play by Arthur Miller called After the Fall. And the crux of that play is this. Does the truth always destroy? Answer, yes. It destroys lies. And I got to tell you, it's running waist deep. The lies are running waist deep. Clinton campaign admits Hillary used the same tax avoidance scheme as Trump. This is from Zero Hedge, submitted by Tyler Durden. The meme here is in the form of Brad Pitt. And it is written here, well, this is a little awkward. With the leaked 1995 Trump tax return scandal, 1995, focused on the billionaire's huge net operating loss and how it might have legally enabled him to pay no taxes for years, we now discover none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton utilized a $700,000 loss, with quotes around loss, to avoid paying some taxes in 2015. The Clinton campaign was quick to jump on the leaked Trump tax filing, with Robbie Mook tweeting, Trump apparently got to avoid paying taxes for nearly two decades while tens of millions of working families paid theirs. And Hillary, following up, added, Trump apparently got to avoid paying taxes for nearly two decades while tens of millions of working families paid theirs. You know, apparently, this woman does not even keep up with her own speeches. She repeats almost word for word segments of speeches years and years old because, as Thomas Sowell said, now it's all about what sounds good, not what about what actually works. In the words of Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, this bombshell report reveals Hillary Clinton's past business failures and may show just how long Hillary Clinton may have avoided paying taxes. Finally, as we noted previously, the New York Times itself is also perfectly happy to take advantage of the U.S. tax code to minimize the amount of money it pays to the government. In 2014, the company got a tax refund of $3.6 million despite having a $29.9 million pre-tax profit. An effective negative tax rate for 2014, which it explained was favorably affected by approximately $21.1 million for the reversal of reserves for uncertain tax positions due to the lapse of applicable statutes of limitations. So I think here's the bottom line. Nobody pays any more than they have to. And the front page of Drudge Report is just, you know, Drudge, he's a horrible person, isn't he? Because he just puts up articles, links to articles that just, they just don't correspond to the mainstream official narrative. They just don't. How about this one, for example? Saudi Arabia and Qatar are funding ISIS, and it's not Qatar. We'll call it Qatar, because we're morons, we don't know any better. Remember that fat guy on, I think it must have been CNN, maybe Fox. Well, how do you pronounce his name? Well, Qatar. Okay, Qatar. The New York Times gave Hillary veto power on quotes that they would put into print. And you'll really like this one. From the Daily Caller, from the 11th of October at 10:08 in the morning, Kevin Daley printed this. WikiLeaks, State Department coordinated email release with Clinton campaign. The Department of State provided a detailed readout of official email traffic it was about to release in response to Freedom of Information Act requests to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. The emails concerned speeches former President Bill Clinton gave abroad and did not include any traffic from Hillary Clinton, according to new emails released by WikiLeaks. All-DOS is soon, that's addressed to all. Department of State is soon releasing another round of documents and email traffic, not hers, in response to Judicial Watch's FOIA request on Department of State's process for reviewing WJC's speaking engagements. That's William Jefferson Clinton, right? Heather Samuelson wrote, 17 March, 2015. Samuelson had been a Clinton aide since the early 2000s, served as a White House liaison during Hillary's tenure as Secretary of State. Mara Pally and Craig Manassian of the Clinton Foundation, Felipe Reyes, a longtime Clinton advisor, Press Secretary Nick Merrill, Communications Director Jennifer Palmieri, Cheryl Mills, Clinton's Chief of Staff at State, and Tina Flournoy, President Clinton's former Chief of Staff, are included in the email. It's 116 pages with approximately 50 sponsor/subsponsor requests, the email continues. No objections by DOS in this batch, but some lengthy internal discussions among DOS officials that I highlighted below. The State Department does not comment on alleged leaked documents. State Department John Kirby told the Daily Caller News Foundation, but generally speaking, when processing documents for release through the Freedom of Information Act, it is standard practice for the State Department to refer documents to private companies and other outside organizations, including the Clinton Foundation, if the department believes proprietary information may be contained in the documents. Proprietary information. You mean like information that would pertain directly to and go directly to the reason for the request in the first place. Is that what you mean? Okay. Outside entities are routinely given a chance to review documents and provide input to the department about proprietary information that may need to be protected from public release. Because, as Hillary Clinton says, you need to have a public position, and you also need to have a private position, too. Diller says, Trump presidential run is an evil miracle. Hillary State gave special attention to Friends of Bill. I mean, seriously, does it get very much more ridiculous than this? It doesn't. It really doesn't. And then we have YouTube here. YouTube. YouTube hides and slaps warning on new Trump ad about Hillary's health. By Kristen Taylor, the Gateway Pundit. .com. YouTube has unlisted and added a warning to the new Donald Trump ad entitled Dangerous, posted Tuesday morning by the Team Trump account that focuses on national security and warns that Hillary Clinton does not have the stamina and judgment to keep America safe. YouTube's statement added to the video's page, this video is unlisted. Be considerate and think twice before sharing. Be considerate. The ad features photos and footage of Clinton coughing and in physical distress, being aided walking upstairs and collapsing as her Secret Service agents drag her to a waiting vehicle. The Drudge Report featured a link to the video Tuesday, bypassing YouTube's effort to keep people from viewing the Trump ad. And I guess we've heard about gotta have dim ribs and that kitty. Only he didn't say kitty. That would be Barack when he was a fledgling moron. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Then, wait till you hear this one. This is from Heat Street, HEATST.com. John Podesta probably broke up Blink 182 over UFOs. Now, who is John Podesta, right? We keep hearing his name come up. Many people don't have any idea who he is. Well, John David Podesta is the chairman of the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. He previously served as chief of staff to Bill Clinton and counselor to President Barack Obama, the worst president in U.S. history. Who's that guy, George Will? Does it mean that if Obama fails, does that mean that America's first black president failed? Yes, George, that's precisely what it means. However, I'm not sure even his character is even comparable in negativity to Bill Clinton's character, a man who has no character, in my opinion, and if he has any character, it's pretty much bad character. So that's John Podesta. Now, what's all this about him breaking up Blink 182? Millennials, this is Emily Zanotti. That's the she ride of this piece here. Millennials may not care that Hillary Clinton's husband spent most of his presidency searching out hot chicks, but they may be interested to know that Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, appears to have been instrumental in breaking up everyone's favorite band from their angsty high school days, Blink 182. According to a trove of emails from Podesta's private account, which WikiLeaks obtained and published on Friday, Podesta and the band's lead singer, Tom DeLonge, routinely corresponded about UFO theories, with DeLonge even inviting Podesta to take part in D.C.-based UFO conferences and meet with UFO experts. The emails, which date from 2015, show DeLonge telling Podesta that he had information relating to our sensitive topic, and that DeLonge has military advisors that he'd like Podesta to meet when everyone is in D.C. Quote, I think you will find them very interesting as they were principal leadership relating to our sensitive topic. Both were in charge of most fragile divisions as it relates to classified science and DOD topics. Other words, these are A-level officials worth our time as well as the investment to bring all the way out to you. Podesta didn't respond by email, but further communications revealed that DeLonge wanted to meet Podesta casually and in person, and that Podesta had worked with DeLonge on a UFO documentary reportedly due out in 2017. Both Podesta and DeLonge are longtime armchair UFO investigators. Podesta told the New York Times that his biggest regret from the Clinton administration is that he was unable to get to the bottom of the government's UFO knowledge. He said that he will pressure Hillary Clinton's administration to come clean about what exactly happens at Area 51 in Roswell, Nevada. Roswell, Nevada. Okay. Roswell, Nevada? And she reportedly agrees. Of course, she agrees to anything for like 15 seconds, then doesn't agree and denies that she agreed to anything ever. DeLonge's UFO obsession is what reportedly broke up Blink 182, which released a new album July 1 of this year, but with a different lead singer. He spent hours doing his own research and claiming to work with at least 10 people, which alienated his bandmates and led to speculation that DeLonge was paranoid or suffered from a mental illness. Bless him. Shame. When the two other members of Blink 182, Mark Hoppus and Travis Barker, gave DeLonge an ultimatum, lose the aliens and stick with the band for 6 months so they could produce another studio album, DeLonge picked the aliens. When DeLonge published an alien investigation novel in April, Vice investigated DeLonge's claims of speaking with high-profile members of the American government and couldn't pin down exactly who was passing DeLonge his information. It seems like it might have been John Podesta. And if it was, it's possible he's to blame for DeLonge's obsession and the band's eventual breakup. But the new album seems to be doing quite well, even without the original lead singer. Do you remember hearing that story that Republicans were more likely to gain access to UFO information than Democrats? It's because somebody up there had the intelligence to understand that some of our favorite bands might not be heard anymore if the wrong Republicans were to connect with the wrong musicians. I mean, oh boy. From yournewswire.com, this is wild. You know that thing about Iceland jailing the bankers? Well, here's the headline. And Baxter Dimitri in News World, posted on October 8th. Iceland jail top bankers for 46 years. Europe outraged. Iceland has differed from the rest of Europe and the U.S. by allowing bankers to be prosecuted as criminals rather than treating them as a protected species. Iceland has found 9 top bankers guilty and sentenced them to decades in jail for crimes related to the 08 economic crash. On Thursday, Iceland's Supreme Court returned a guilty verdict for all 9 defendants in the Kaupthing market manipulation case after a long-running court trial which began in April last year. Kaupthing was a big international bank headquartered in Reykjavik, Iceland. It expanded internationally for years but collapsed in 2008 under huge debts, crippling the small nation's economy. By demanding that bankers be subject to the same laws as the rest of society, Iceland opted for a very different strategy in the wake of the financial crisis to the rest of Europe and the U.S., where banks were fined nominal amounts and directors and chief executives escaped punishment altogether. While the U.S. and U.K. governments provided bailouts and government stakes for their big banks with taxpayers' money, essentially giving bankers the green light to continue behaving in the same way, Iceland adopted a different approach, declaring it would let the banks go bust, weed out and punish the criminal element at the top of the banks, and protect the savings of the people. Former director of the bank, I cannot pronounce this man's name at all, Hreidar Már Sigurðsson. Say, that wasn't bad. Yeah, it was. Who was found guilty in jail last year was also given a 6-month extension to his sentence on Thursday. According to Iceland Monitor, the bankers are found guilty of crimes related to deceitfully financing share purchases. The bank loaned money for the purchase of the shares while using its own shares as collateral for the loans. They're also found guilty of creating a misleading demand for Kaupthing shares by means of deception and pretense. These guilty verdicts are just the latest in Iceland's unprecedented clampdown since the economic crash. Authorities have been pursuing bank bosses, chief executives, civil servants, and corporate looters for crimes ranging from insider trading to fraud, money laundering, misleading markets, breach of duties, and lying to officials. Meanwhile, the economy that collapsed so spectacularly has rebounded after letting its banks go bust, imposing capital controls and protecting its own citizens rather than the elite bank bosses responsible for the mess. This determination to hold people to account for actions that caused intense financial misery contrasts strongly with the UK, the rest of Europe, and the US. Yes, fines were imposed on the 20 biggest banks for transgressions such as market manipulation, money laundering, and mis-selling mortgages, but these costs fall on shareholders. And by hampering the bank's ability to lend, they also punish the rest of society. Meanwhile, the guilty senior bankers, thanks to government bailouts, carry on making enormous profits and collecting their obscene bonuses as though nothing happened. Last year, the International Monetary Fund declared that Iceland had achieved economic recovery without compromising its welfare model or unduly punishing its citizens for crimes committed by its bankers. Iceland is right to jail its bankers, and the U.S. and Europe is wrong to merely slap a few wrists and give the green light to future outrages. Wow. Now, Benjamin Fulford from Kaulipeli.wordpress.com. U.S. elections will be canceled and war crimes tribunals to be held, Pentagon and CIA sources say. New weekly report from Ben. Even more fascinating news, especially if indeed it does come to pass, as Ben writes it. And here it is. The U.S. presidential election due for November 8th will be canceled, and instead there will be war crimes tribunals held, sources in both the Pentagon and the CIA say. From the CIA, there is now a 90% probability that the elections will be postponed. The Pentagon sources, for their part, say the 9/11 law will push Saudi Arabia to expose Israel, Bandar bin Sultan, and the Bush cabal behind 9/11 and will lead to a real truth commission and a war crimes tribunal. The data dump of over 1 million documents revealing the extensive crimes of the Clinton Foundation make it clear there is a powerful faction within the military-industrial complex that is fighting to overthrow the Khazarian mafia. Bill Clinton, who is close to death from HIV, recently issued a death threat against this writer and Neil Keenan. The signs are that Neil Keenan has already been murdered. Oh, my God. Well, Fulford's got that look on his face on his YouTube videos. We tried to get a hold of him to bring him on the program, but it was very difficult because he's in Japan or something. Couldn't get the time zone straightened out. Maybe nobody had a world clock handy or something. But I am keen to talk to him now. You know, like without commercials, endless commercials. I know you know what I mean. By the way, that was quite good listening to Trevor Loudon. He came on last week, but I wanted everybody to hear what he had to say. And I wanted them to hear the condensed version of what Trevor Loudon had to say, his new movie, The Enemies Within. And so I'm going to say it again, you know. I know we don't know when Jesus was born. It doesn't matter when he was born. Christmas is coming and we're going to celebrate on the 25th, okay? And you will say Merry Christmas if you are a Christian. Anybody I find saying Happy Holidays is going to get a slap. And you know what word I wanted to put before slap. I mean it. Not a mean slap. Just a remindatory slap. Is that a word, remindatory? No? It is now. This will remind you. Let me show you. Look. Mother and child. She's kind of doing that thing that she does when she's talking anyway. And this is a bobblehead. I don't want to be mean. I mean, at least she's not doing this. But she does do a little bit of this. He didn't pay taxes for 400 years. And I want to be president. Now, as you can see, they were listening to me when I told them, Donald, Mr. Trump, stop raising that finger like Al Capone, as depicted by De Niro. There he is with his arms crossed. Yes, this man is to be condemned because he apparently likes women. Whereas this man needs to be condemned for being willing to baptize aliens. And I don't mean the ones from south of the border either. Notice he hasn't really been in the news much lately. Anyway, here's the deal. When Christmas time comes around, it's better than a T-shirt, you know, a T-shirt that says, this is the best I could do. You don't want that. Give them something good. Give them a subscription. Give your loved ones, give your friends a subscription, a membership, an invitation to belong to the caravan. I'm serious about this because anybody who signs up for a year with us, get the DVD for free. Now, here's the deal. Trevor said, no, John, I want you to sell it through your site because we want to support you. Okay, that's cool. And I really appreciate it. Here's the thing. If you go to Trevor Loudon's site, it's like $14.95. But by the time you add the shipping and the handling, everything on there, it's like $20.23 or something. Okay, well, we're $19.95. We don't save you much, but we do save you some. And the good part is that we give it to you for nothing with a year subscription. A half a year now is $45. Why? Because there are well over 600 programs in archive right now. So it's not fair to the people who really started with us at the beginning, now is it? And you know what? We get mail from people all the time, and it's just, don't feel snubbed if it hasn't been responded to. If you've sent us an email and it hasn't been responded to yet, we have that kind of staff, because I got to tell you, we get a lot of email in here. But what lovely people, what caring people, bright people, engaged people, capable people. who've been with us from the beginning, through all the trucks rolling by, the beer trucks rolling through the scene practically, and you know, all kinds of crashes and just technological insanity. It was really quite something. But they've stayed with us from the very beginning. And words cannot express what you mean to us other than these. You made it possible, and you continue to make it possible. And we owe you. And so we try to hold up our end of the deal. Every week, every program, all the time. So, it's a good idea. Give somebody a membership. Get a free DVD of The Enemies Within. What's The Enemies Within? It's a very, very serious documentary about communist infiltration into our government, which explains a lot of things from, we're going to hear a little bit about that from our guest today, Gary Hunt, about political positions taking precedence over actual law. I mean, down to little individual court cases. This ridiculous common core of an educational system that we have here. All this racial division, promotion of the homosexual agenda. Nobody cares what you do at night. Nobody cares what you do with your body, really. But when it becomes a political agenda, what if suddenly the junkies become a political agenda? Or, parakeet stranglers or something like that, because they're trying to reduce global warming and climate change by eliminating as many parakeets as possible. Oh, well, in that case, that's not animal cruelty or aviary cruelty. It's just ornithological cruelty. That's what it would be. It's almost as though the world has gone crazy. Now, I maintain a position of being formally educated, but slightly cracked on account of the stuff that we read and listen to and talk about every day. But it is possible to stay balanced. It really is. And the way you do it, don't let anything get its hooks in you except those things which will threaten your human freedom and your ability to remain free. Those are the things that you need to concentrate on. Yes, there are a myriad of components that are freedom-robbing potentially, but a lot of them are lame. So just deal with what you can and let the rest of it go. Otherwise, you will wind up walking on the side of your head all the time, throwing up your hands, you know, deciding you can't do anything about anything, and eventually running off into the distance, going all fuzzy around the edges and screaming, "Who am I?" Well, you know who you are. Just remember who you are and that you only have to take so much. You only have to take so much. I wonder if I should even mention this. But I will, and I don't know why it touches me, except what may strike you as obvious. But somebody did a post on Facebook, and we learned later that a young man in the prime of his life had lost it. And the last thing that he posted was an ARC Midnight link to the radio program we do on Saturday nights. It took a couple hours to get past that one. And our prayers go to his family and to him. I'm sure they will be heard. All right. Anyway, look. It's good to freewheel and freelance just a little bit, but I know you like a more structured program, so let's have a little structure, shall we? Not much, just a little. Let's have a beautiful musical interlude, and then let's talk with Gary Hunt. Stand by.